I am Coach Raquel, and welcome to YouMe Radio. You're joining myself and Keith, the entrepreneur, tonight. We're going to be talking about being too busy to be present. And tonight's episode, we are going to be going through a story on a blog entry on Lifehack. That's lifehack.org. And Cylon George, he shared a post titled 15 Signs You Are Too Busy and Should Stop. So I'm waiting for Keith to join me. And while I wait for him to join me, let me share the topic with you. Feel free to give us a call, share your views, your thoughts on the subject, on the topic. So this is YuMe Radio Live, one of our live shows. You can listen to YuMe Radio at yumeradio.com. That is the letter U, M-E-R-A-D-I-O. Hi, Keith.
Hey, how are you doing? How are we doing today?
I am fantastic. I am doing great.
That's my word. Fantastic.
Yes? Yes. Yes. I'm doing great. I am happy. Not meaning to, no pun intended, but I'm very happy. Yes. Yes.
Even though it's raining.
Yes. And it's raining where I am at too. I love the weather. It's very cool. Well, cold. I was going to say cool, but it's pretty cold. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I'm enjoying it because I love cold and wet.
Nice.
So cold works for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually the warm and wet, that sounds better to me.
But really? Oh,
that's
no.
Another book and there's another chapter. I wanted to go there.
Hold on. Does warm and wet have a meaning I should be aware of?
It actually does. It means that you're alive and living.
I can't hear you. You should tell me quickly before my mind goes to the wrong place.
it means that you are alive and living.
Warm and wet?
Yes.
I understand the warm part. What about the wet?
It means the blood is flowing through your veins.
Okay.
And it's liquid. See that?
That's not what I thought you meant, but okay.
Oh, well, here you go. Well, we'll take both meanings. It's all good.
Oh my gosh. Oh wow. I want to share a little Christmas music under our conversation. Because it's Christmas, the Christmas season. Do you like the Christmas season? It's my favorite season.
You know, my birth month is December.
Yeah?
I was born on the 24th, so I was a gift. But
well, I was born in December Christmas, too.
The thing about Christmas is that I only get one gift, you know? They kind of fall into one little thing, so.
Because, so they don't give you a birthday gift and a Christmas gift. They just give you one gift for both.
One gift, you know? Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, at least you get something, right?
Hey, listen, I don't complain.
I'm not complaining.
I said, make the one good, you know?
I hear you. Good. That makes sense. Yeah. So, yeah. What do your kids usually give you? I hope it's not a tie that they usually give you. Sorry, you were saying something?
I was saying that we have not done this in a while, just finding happy.
I know, right?
We have divorced it. We have abandoned it. Why have we done so?
Well, we haven't, you know. It's that we've had some that was, they were already recorded.
All right.
Yeah. So, but tonight we're talking about being too busy to be present. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever felt like you're in different moments of your life and you're just so busy that you're not really present in those moments?
Yes, I both hands and feet in the air on that one.
Tell me about one of those days or moments.
You know, I remember one time I had three jobs. Mm-hmm. How I don't remember, but I had three jobs. And I had nothing called life.
Wow.
One thing I knew, I was always moving, though. I was always going somewhere, doing something. And when you have three jobs, you have young kids.
Wow.
And you know, a wife at the time, it's like, wow, you know. And it's funny because even with the jobs that I had, when I went home, I was Mr. Mom. So rather than going into the bed, you know, it could be cutting the grass. It could be doing something with the kids, grocery shopping, helping to cook. And the list goes on. So
that's very nice, Keith.
And of course, Sunday, you know, for church. And sometimes church lasts all day, you know. Mm-hmm. And you go back home for another long. And it's, in fact, living in one state and working in another state.
So
we're looking at drive time each day, three to four hours.
Oh, wow.
You know, and then dealing with kids, dealing with the child care and going home and get the child and then, you know, and then get the other child. It was a pretty intense, pretty well jam-packed days.
Let me give you a clap for still showing up at home and still being a good parent and helping, even though you had so many jobs. So that's a hand for you.
Well, you know, I appreciate that so much. You're awesome. Thank you. You know, every man, you know, once in a while needs a good pat on the shoulder.
I know, right?
Good job. You know, that's I like that. I appreciate that.
Yes. I remember being very engaged in my work, not married, mm-hmm. not in a relationship, but just so engaged in my job that I was missing moments. Like sometimes I remember my friends, like they would call me and I would just put them on hold without even stopping to think, hold on.
Oh,
what was the call about? Are they okay?
Mm.
You know, and I would just say, could you hold a moment, please? And I would just constantly like, could you hold a moment, please? And I was just constantly putting them on hold.
Wow.
You know, and it took one of my really, really good friends to say to me, you know, you're always putting me on hold, right? And I'm like, I do that. And she's like, yes, you do. And you put me on hold. I'm holding. And then you just don't come back. And then days passed, weeks passed.
Wow.
I heard from you. And I really was just busy at work because I love what I do.
Wow.
And sometimes I just get really lost into it.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I'm present at work, but not in any other aspect of my life. And so I kind of like this article that Cylon George shared. Cylon is a spiritual chaplain and blogger, and he writes about practical spiritual tips for busy people. So this one, 15 signs you're too busy and should 15 signs you're too busy and should stop. So I'm going to go ahead and read each sign, and then we'll just make our own comment and say what we think about it, right?
Well, you said 15 things? That's a lot.
15, I know, right?
That's pretty scary stuff. Oh, wow.
I know. So the first one, rock and roll. So the first one he has is where you hardly see your family.
Oh boy, guilty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? How much? If you were to calculate hours spent with your family, how many hours out of your 24 hours would you say go to them?
If I said it, I think the phone would go on fire. I'll just smoke the phone to the device here. If I tell you how much it is, no, but no. But on a serious note. You know, typically, like I said, when I was married, I'm at the moment, you know, you have your normal work day, you go home, you see your family. So it was pretty much a daily thing. But of course, you know, during the daytime, your spouse works, then you work. So X amount of hours are gone already, then you come home, and the time that you spend really get the homework done. So it's not really their time like that. It's more like a work time still, because you're in work mode, and when you cook and prepare dinner, that's work mode. So you really have not.
There's no connecting happening, no relating happening.
Yeah.
Everyone is just busy doing something.
Exactly. And then by the time they finish the homework, which is like forever long, I was wondering why they give these kids these long, everlasting homeworks. But anyway, at least the school that he was going to and she was going to was like really just amazing how they gave all these homeworks. But when it's done now, they're kind of tired too. But when they're tired, then you can't really connect with them because they want to go to bed.
Wow.
You know, so this cycle continues for a while. So, yeah.
Wow. What would you recommend for fathers or husbands to do to mitigate that? Because how unhealthy is that, though? I mean, you know, especially when you're married and or if you're in a relationship, or you have family, close family that you live with,
yeah,
isn't there an investment of time that needs to go into the relationship for it to be, for it to thrive?
Yes,
I welcome think- Marsha J. And anybody, you can call in to join the conversation if you want. Just press the telephone icon on your phone or on the right. Hey, app, and you can join us. Yeah. Yes, Keith, you're going to say, yeah. Do you have to invest time?
Yeah, I remember when I was younger.
Yeah.
Now, where I grew up in, you know, my dad and mom was pretty much home. My dad was never really present-wise as far as socially and, you know, verbally wow. there, even though he might have been there physically.
Mm-hmm. But there was no connecting happening.
So I didn't get right. So now, as wow. I got, as in my own life as a dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, many times I didn't have the time to give my family that I wanted mm-hmm. to give them. I figured, well, the time that I have, how can I make it most effective. And most wholesome? Mm-hmm. So what I started doing, I realized that not so much the quantity of time, but the quality.
It was the quality.
So when I got my kids, I would ask him, what do you want to do? Like, what are you thinking? You know, how was your day?
Conversations.
You know, do you have any issues going on here? And I would hear so many different stories about so many different things that I would even be learning some stuff too. Like, wow, you know, who mm-hmm. did the latest song or who's your favorite artist? Get them talking and sharing. And of course, in that short time, they would feel a connection with their dad. The conversation, you yeah. know, and that kind of thing. So that's one of the ways.
And I think some of the things can also be done is having dinner with them, like eating oh, yes. and talking while eating. Because I think sometimes, I mean, I don't have a family. I've never been married. I've never lived with anyone. But I'm thinking about it. What I would have liked is to have, and I did have the experience with, you know, those who fostered me, but having dinner together, and that's where the conversations are had. The uncomfortable and the comfortable conversations over dinner. So that's doing two, that's like a two for one, right? You're mm-hmm. connecting with everyone and you're eating, you're feeding yourselves. Mm-hmm. When you're driving in the car, you know, yeah. engaging them, singing music with them and just having a good time. So for example, you're traveling in the traffic, you're in traffic. Instead of being miserable and saying, oh my God, the traffic, blah, blah, blah. Engage them, you know, if they're not in the car with you, you can call them.
Yes.
Like you and I talk all the time on the phone while you're driving and stuff like that. And I think we connect a lot that way, don't we?
I think so. And it works well because
yeah.
you know, you could be doing a lot of things other than that, but having that kind of conversation, especially when you're trying to build something,
yeah.
you know, the more you dialogue is the more you have ideas and you know, yes. you can, you know, kind of rehash things and
mm-hmm.
It really is a productive thing to do.
I used to date long distance, and I used to do that too. I would be on the phone with him in the train, at lunch, like all kinds of conversations, you know. So sometimes when you're far away, you find yourself connecting more. Mm. Interestingly.
Wow.
Yeah, but that is something that it's important to spend time and quality time with your family. The second one is. The second sign you're too busy and should slow down is you've lost your sense of purpose or meaning, as in the meaning of living.
Wow.
Can you imagine going until you don't even remember why you're going? Wow. Right?
You know, folks, we listen to UME Radio
yes.
at WUMEDB, New York. Folks, I tell you, if you're listening out there, I tell you, get your folks and you know to check us out in here and really, really, really join the conversation. Send your emails, your comments. We welcome those things. I think we have a guest, and I think it's Marsha.
We have two guests. We have Marsha J and Boris. Welcome. We're talking about 15 signs you're too busy and should slow down. And we're on number two. You've lost your sense of purpose or meaning. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that has happened to me where I was just doing, but it wasn't really connecting to meaningfulness for me personally. I just kept feeling like I was feeding into everybody else. I was doing this for you. I ever met persons who they're just all over the place? Oh my God, I'm so busy. Oh my God, I'm so busy. And it's, I have to do this for that one, and I have to go down there, and I have to the degree that I don't even think they're aware of what they're saying.
Wow.
I've had those kinds of interactions with persons. In those cases, sometimes it's important to just kind of slow down and ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I so busy? What's making me so busy? And who is it that I'm busy for? Right? Because if you're busy for some things, then it means that you're available to other things.
True.
So it's good to take stock and just really assess and make sure that the things that are actually keeping you busy are the things that are ensuring that your life is meaningful and you're happy and your well-being is being taken care of. Number three is you're constantly trying to meet the expectations of others. Ding, ding, ding. Uh-oh. You have those persons too who they're on a roll, but it's about somebody else.
Oh yeah, I met people like that.
Yeah, yeah. In those moments, and the author here is suggesting schedule 10 to 15 minutes between calls with clients so you can have built-in downtime to regain your balance. So it's good to support other people, and it's good to make yourself to stay engaged, but not at the risk of yourself.
True.
Make sure that there's time for you to have lunch. Note to self, have lunch, because I love my job so much that I will just be on the job and not move.
Oh.
And I don't even realize that time has changed. Like, I'll be sitting down from sunrise and then I look outside and it's like dark. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even realize it because I'm so busy working. Because I love what I do. But you have to take care of yourself too.
Yes.
Right? Number four is you're unable to be present. And number five, you're exhausted. Exhaustion is no joke. Sometimes I like to get exhausted, so I crash and just go to sleep. but on a regular basis, that isn't healthy. It's never happened to you before where you just crash and it happens to me where sometimes I do so much work and then it's like I just crash. And when I wake up later, I don't know what time of day it is. But for some reason, I love when that happens.
Okay.
Yes, me, it's the best sleep.
For me, I find that I go to sleep easily.
Yeah.
So I try not to get myself to that point of exhaustion.
It seems happens to Marsha too.
Marsha, yeah. What's your story, Marsha? Then?
You should call us in and tell us what's your story. Tell us when it happened to you. But yeah, so you're saying that you go out before you reach the state of exhaustion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I find that that's been one of my pluses, you know?
Yeah, that's a good
thing. Be able to sleep. So I can sleep anywhere in the car. I can
just
on the couch. I can just go off. And a lot of times those power naps,
yes,
folks, it really works.
It does.
Sometimes we wait for the night to come. Yes, someone's coming on.
Hey. Good night, guys. Good night, world.
Welcome to Yumi Radio.
All right, welcome.
Thank you.
What happened to you? You crashed?
From Jamaica.
Oh, yes. North Coast, right?
Right.
So what's your crash story now? What is your crash story?
Okay, so I'm a church girl, so I am always pretty much at church. And even when I'm not at church, I'm still at church in my mind and I'd be up doing stuff. When I'm sick, I would be in the back lying down on the bench and I know I'm not well. So what will happen most times is that especially if there's like a huge event, I would be so engrossed in it. Like by the time the event has ended, I end up sleeping for 3 days and have no idea of what day it is.
It happened.
3 days. I think that was the last.
No, that's what I call crashing.
And it's like you can't wake up, right? It's like sometimes you try to wake up, but it's like it's not happening. It happens to me too.
You just wake up even right in bed, even if you do get up.
Yeah, it's like you're crawling. It's like you can't.
Well, folks, let me give you a little tip on this one here. You know, back there in the Caribbean, where some of you happy, great folks are, with the cool breeze and the cool rhythm, Jamaican, the rock and roll and the reggae, y'all can have sleep for 3 days. If you're in New York and sleep for 3 days and wake up, you won't see a house, or your car, or your clothes, or nothing. You'll be gone, okay? You really wonder what happened.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Oh my goodness. But it's interesting though that it happens, and it's not wise really though. We really should schedule times.
Yeah.
Make sure that, you know, you stagger that work that you're doing. So you do some now and some later, and you make sure you're putting in your food time and things like that. I'm going to go on to number 6 and number 7. Number 6 is you feel like you're failing in multiple areas of your life. Wow. Do you feel that way sometimes?
Yeah.
Like feeling?
Yeah.
Let me see. I think I fail in the relationship department. Like, I'm like, if I were just to muster up the motivation to spend as much time in having a relationship, building a relationship, and a little less time at work, then I probably wouldn't be single. But I don't feel like I put any effort in it at all. I don't know. I feel like trying to find a relationship is like searching for a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an unpleasant experience for me.
But you know, what's interesting about that is that there's no saying you get out what you put in. But
true.
But I always say when it comes to relationships, it is very complicated. It's so complex to me anyway. I think people don't want it to be, but I think it really is. Because you're trying to please the person, but you still may have very, very involved and very busy life, you know?
But you know what's funny, Keith? For me, yeah. I'm not worried that I'm not going to give quality time or invest in the relationship.
Why not?
My fear is getting with someone who... I don't know if that would be unrequited love or something. Being with someone who doesn't necessarily want to be in a relationship with me or can't let me put it this way, where I feel like I'm in a relationship with you and I have to temper myself. I have to kind of like suppress myself. Like I have to slow myself down, not go too fast, not care too much. You know, like that's so challenging for me. It feels so counterproductive. And I've had that experience where you're dating someone, but it's almost like, you don't want to move too far. It's like you have to control yourself kind of thing.
I think I understand where you're going.
Yeah. Like if I'm loving you, I just want to love you. Like, I don't want to have to, I want it to be unbridled. Like, I don't want to have to suppress myself and control myself. It just so unattractive.
Well, let me give you an antidote to this. Well, you know, the last time I checked, we were living on Mother Earth. So maybe in some other world, maybe in some other
too much work. Life, you're right.
It might be, but where I see it now, it's a pretty long shot. You know, I think people are just naturally selfish. I think people don't know how to be selfish. I think being selfish is
selfish is a good thing. It's a narcissism I can't stay.
Yeah,
it's
knowing how to be selfish.
Self-centeredness.
Yeah, because see, sometimes people, sometimes, especially if you're building and you need time. I remember when I used to do my practicing of my instrument, I would hear, "When are you going to finish?" So you know
the person who will join you there.
So it's about saying like, wrap it up now. Half an hour is gone, we're playing that horn, and we ain't doing no more. But technically, to be a professional, you got to blow for 8-9 hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah, you want to be really good. You want to be decent, maybe 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. But you're in the first half now, and you're hearing, shut it down. Hey, I'm just
getting is that because your playing is affecting the person, as in the noise?
Yeah, then just the noise, because whether it's good or bad, it's just noise. And
like, yeah, but I mean, isn't there consideration for that though? I understand what you're saying.
Course, that's an hour.
I think what could mitigate that is to build a soundproof room or something.
But of course.
Yeah, because if it's just a matter of noise, I don't see that as someone saying don't do it. It's just, can we create a space where you can do that in a way that it doesn't affect the rest of us? At least you're in. At least there is openness to how the person feels, I think.
But the thing is that the person not being bad, you know, it's just the reality of that. Is that when you're in a relationship with someone?
Why does that bother you?
What bothers me?
The fact that the person said it's time to wrap it up now. Why does that bother you?
No. It didn't bother me as such. I'm saying that I was saying to you, when it comes to working out in a relationship, as far as if I was alone, I could play all day long.
But if your neighbor is not annoyed.
Right. So now when you are with someone, within marriage or in a relationship, sometimes what you have to do, you have to actually now kind of hone in some of that self time.
Absolutely, because share.
So the person wasn't being bad, and just felt that now I know to adjust some things, and so you know what? Let me try to at least make this 30 minutes or hour as more efficient as possible, and maybe practice differently or be more direct in what I do and that kind of thing. So it's really working things out to make it happen.
Okay, I understand. Can I say something? Like I was back.
Sure you can.
I don't see a challenge there. In my mind, I'm like, I don't see a challenge there.
You'll be surprised.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, in my mind, I'm listening to you, and I'm like, what exactly is the challenge there? Build a room, or, you know, in my mind is what I'm thinking, or have a conversation, or, you know, but each individual's challenge is a challenge to them.
Yeah.
Whether or not I see it, whether or not someone else sees it, it is still an issue because it's an issue to you. But relationship is work. And I don't know how it's going to work out for me, because quite honestly, if I'm going to have to go find, every time I think of, you need to go find someone to date, it is one of the most demotivating feelings ever, to the degree that I feel like I just prefer to be single. Like, I just can't. It's just too much. It's I have to work to find you, then I have to work to keep you, then I have to work to
keep you happy and keep you satisfied.
Why can't they find you though? Exactly, right, Marsha J. Why can't they find
the other women of him?
Huh?
And keep off the other women that's on him.
Listen, I'm not taking that on. I am not taking that on. You want another woman, you go. But you're right, Marsha. Why can't they find us, for crying out loud? Like, them, let's find each other. It's just work for me. Like, when I think about it, just talking about it now makes me feel overwhelmed. I'm going to number 7.
Uh-oh.
You don't take vacations ever. Keith, you told, I think it was the last episode, where you said you had not taken a vacation for so long.
Yes, it was.
She's laughing at me. Let me see if I can find the laugh.
It was frightful.
What happened? Why you took so long to go on vacation?
You know what? Again, you know, you're kind of going, and time's going by. Like, never really. You know what? I think that something I'm learning now that I think I lacked for many years is really having a plan and stick to it.
Okay.
Because you have these ideas and these thoughts. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to travel. The thing is that because I was in a band, all right? I was in a band.
Mm-hmm.
We traveled a lot. So I always feel like I was moving around, you know.
We did
Europe a couple of times. We did Caribbean. I did travel to some degree. So, but as a family unit, that didn't happen the way I think it could have happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think planning would have been, if I stuck with the plans, it could have happened. You know, cause I want to go to Sandals with the family. I want to have this vacation.
Yeah.
I want to go to Disney World with the family. You know, went one day, one time, one year with our first daughter. But overall, I think planning means that you got to put your money together. You can't wait until this time. You got to have some kind of, you know, accountability, some kind of system where you have some goals set and you meet those goals. But if you wait for that to happen, then it's like you wait for the tax return to come.
I'm
then
always ready for a vacation.
The car breaks down and this happens. It's like a cycle. So just not having good planning, you know, good financial planning, I think was a factor.
Me, I'm always ready for a vacation. Whether I travel or not, I will stay in my bed for my vacation. Okay. Wow. That's just, I really like my downtime. Sometimes I start feeling guilty when I'm not doing anything. And when I start feeling lazy, and I have to remind myself that I shouldn't feel that way because I'm someone who's always working. But sometimes I feel really, really guilty. And when I'm supposed to spend on myself, like I spend on the bills and stuff like that, and I do whatever sacrifices I need. And then, but then if I, even when I buy food sometimes, I have to check myself, like, what are you doing? Like, you're not supposed to be feeling guilty here. But if it's a bill that I'm paying, then I'm going to do what it takes to pay it. That's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Number eight is, and we're talking about the 15 signs you're too busy and should stop or slow down. Number eight, you have a hard time focusing on one task for more than 10 minutes. That's not my problem. I will go on and on and on and on and on if I like what I'm doing.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny because as you mentioned that I don't like reading like that. If I like a book, if the book interests me, I can read it in one sitting. But I tell you, I'm not the read like that. I'm more of a visual kind of thing. I like to listen to people talking and maybe seminars or doing this kind of workshops. I like to see it. But as far as reading, I don't really enjoy reading unless it's a book.
I love to read, actually. Oh, wow. I like to read. Yeah. But I love reading good books like Sydney Sheldon's. Mm-hmm. I love Sydney Sheldon's. Like, I wish I could get some right now. Like, I would make the time. Oh, yes, I will make the time.
What do you call his books?
Sydney Sheldon. He's an author.
Uh-huh.
I love his books. I'm just like
S-Y-D-N-E-Y?
I think it's S-Y-D-N-E-Y. Uh-huh. Is it S-Y or S-I? I think, I'm not sure. I'd have to get one.
It's not like Y, but S-H-E-L-D-O-N, right?
Yeah, Sydney, let me see. I was going to get up and go to the library for one, but I forgot I have internet.
There we go.
Sydney Sheldon, S-I-D-N-E-Y. Like, I'm like, they should put every one of his movies, should be all of his books should become movies.
Wow.
I love his books. Best Laid Plans. Let me give you some of them. Other Side of Midnight, I'm on the site. I've read that one. Memories of Midnight, I've read that one. Oh, my gosh, he has one called Reckless. I've never read that one.
Okay.
Same Thing Tomorrow. I don't remember that one either. Oh, my God, If Tomorrow Comes was the first book I read. If Tomorrow Comes, that was the first book for Sydney Sheldon that I've ever read. I remember reading this book for Sydney Sheldon, and I cannot get this scene from the book out of my head. She was imprisoned. I don't remember why. But when she was in there, they raped her by, I don't know what it was that they forced inside her, and I think she lost the child.
Mm.
I don't remember if that one is If Tomorrow Comes. But I can't seem to get it out of my head. I remember it?
It sounds pretty intense. Yeah.
But she got back up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sydney Sheldon. Oh my gosh, he has so many books on his website. I want all of them. I love Sydney Sheldon so much, and I love Jackie Collins and Daniel Steele. But anyway, I'll go on and on and on. Number nine, you are unhappy and you don't know why. That has happened to me before. Have you ever been unhappy and you don't know why?
Not really.
No? Wow. I remember being unhappy. Marsha said is has happened to her too. Yeah, it has happened to me. One of the things I learned this year, though, at a time when I thought it was just hormones. She said hormones. But I don't know that it was hormones. For me, I realize that during the month, during that time of the month, I do get a bit, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have to, yes, like my energy drops and I don't want to do anything.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I have to like remind myself that that's what's going to happen, why it is. Because it doesn't happen during, it happens before.
Okay.
So sometimes I don't that even realize that that's why it's happening to me.
Yeah, that pre-thing.
Yeah. But then I've also learned this year that my downtime, the downtime that I have is really, I feel like my unit, the way I am, it's like my universe slows me down to, because something's going to happen. Something, either I'm going to do something really, really big, or I'm going through something and I have to tap into myself to I don't know how to explain it, because I used to think like maybe it's bipolar or something I have, where I'm up and down. Like sometimes when I'm down, like I'm just down, you know, I like down, 2 weeks down, you know, I can't leave my bed. And sometimes I'm just bawling. I don't know what it is. But what I found that has happened is after it, mm-hmm. it's like a recharge happens. But I didn't really realize it until I started paying attention to it. And I started embracing it. And I started stop saying, Raquel, you're depressed or whatever. I start asking now, like, what is my universe telling me in this moment? And this is not even about coaching. Yeah. It was just me trying to figure out for me, why am I feeling so low? And I've discovered that after a while, it's like my mind got recharged and I'm having, it's just interesting. It's like I'm having a breakthrough or something.
So it works for you.
Yes, I'm realizing now that my downtime, I don't need to, because what used to make it terrible is that I used to call it just lazy, that I was just lazy. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to do anything. But then I stopped labeling it as lazy. I just started saying, okay, take the time. Because I am someone who goes in overdrive. So I now start taking the time and letting whatever happen. And I don't label it anymore. So I find that it's not as miserable anymore because I'm not pushing myself and I'm not being mad at myself anymore.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then what happens when I do that and I just allow my energy to be and I just feed my mind positive things, that when I come out of it, I am so rejuvenated. It's like this boost of motivation and I'm just having great ideas.
But, you know, as I hear you talk about that, yeah. You know, I mean, they're making billions of dollars each year on these antidepressants and Prozac and God knows what. So it's really nice. It's good when you can actually go through this process without all this drug and all these things that so many people use, you know, which really...
Yeah.
Really not good.
I'm not telling them that I shouldn't use it. I can only say what happens for me because I used to... Hello, Divazio. Welcome.
Yes, are you welcome. There?
Thanks for joining us. I can't hear you though. We're talking about number nine. We're talking about 15 reasons you're too busy and should slow down. And we're on, you are unhappy and you don't know why. Has that ever happened to you? You're live. I'm not sure, maybe the microphone isn't working, but yeah, it has happened to me. And I'm not saying that someone should not take medication. I'm just saying, whether you take the medication or not, tap into yourself, get an find out why, ask yourself or take some time, meditate if you have to, but just to understand why am I feeling this way. And sometimes take stock of how much you've been going, because for me, I realized that I was going. Because I don't like to not have something to do. Mm. I don't know where it's going to end or something. I want to always have something to do because I really love what I do.
Yes. So you would say the trick is that is to do what you love, because you know, there are people who they don't like their jobs and they find it to be exhausting.
That's a different kind of misery.
They don't like home, so they're exhausted again. So, you know, they become unproductive people, you know. So I think, like you were saying, loving what you do is really is a key
Yeah, but sometimes when you love what you do, you go so hard that when your body starts shutting down, if you're not in tune with it, or if you're like me, what I did was I was telling myself, why are you so lazy? Like, get up and work. Like, I literally, get up and work. But it's that my body was tired.
Wow.
But I didn't realize, I was too busy to be present in my moments. I was so busy doing what I love to do that I was neglecting my body, my well-being.
Dangerous.
Very, very. I would give an example of something that happened to me, where I hope it won't gross anybody up, but I remember one day I was working, right? And my assistant was sitting right next to me. And I was just going. And it's like my monthly just happened.
Wow.
And just gushed out of me under the desk and everything.
Wow.
Do you think I moved? I didn't move. I'm not kidding. I sat there and I kept working and I convinced myself, even when the lady came and she was cleaning and everything and she was like, don't you want to get up? No, I had convinced myself that what I was working on was so urgent that I can't leave. I need to stay here and keep doing this. I did not get up until the end of the day.
Wow.
Night. Like about 8 o'clock there, but then it happened like about 4 or 5 o'clock.
No, that's called driven with the...
I'm not kidding. Yes.
That's a certain word.
Yeah, when I say that, I was too busy to be present. That's what I mean. I had convinced myself that I have to get this document in. I have to get these things done. I have to get it, or else I have to.
Well, I never one thing.
For me.
I tell you one thing. I don't plan to do any gushing at all. I will take my breaks.
It is very important. Even when you love what you do, because when you don't love what you do, then you probably will choose yourself and get up because you can't wait to leave. But I think it's important to note that even when you love what you do, sometimes you need to slow down, stop yourself, take time for yourself, take care of yourself, you know, to make sure that you are well, to make sure you are well.
So what do you do? So what do you do now? And folks, like I said, you listen to UME Radio, WUMEDB, New York.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
What do I do now?
To actually help to curtail that.
Yes. That's a compulsion for me. So what I do now is I tell myself I do not work. I give myself a contract.
Okay.
Because I'm an entrepreneur. I give myself a timeline. So I said I'm working between 10 to 6.
Very good.
Anything over that time is overtime.
Wow.
And what I do also is I make myself uncomfortable sometimes when I'm working, so I don't get too comfortable.
Wow.
Yes, I still, go ahead.
And have you found a difference in that, a major difference?
Yes. Yes, even though sometimes, and also I had gotten really, really ill with stomach pains. And so now I have to remember to eat, because sometimes I completely forget to eat something. And I used to have this challenge where, am I weird? I used to have this challenge where it took too much to go
and prepare
something to eat. I would be standing in there like complaining. I'd be like, oh my God, I want to go back to my work. I can't be bothered to prepare something to eat. Like, I just want to go back. I'm enjoying what I'm doing so much. I just want to go back there to do it. And I just want to go back to my desk to do what I was doing. Like, I just get lost in it. Like, I'll be creating a website and I just feel lost in it.
Wow.
And I have to, and so I found myself that when I cooked something and I was about to eat, I would be praying, and my prayer was about, thank you, God, for motivating me to go prepare something to eat. Wow. No joke, that was my prayer. And I started hearing myself like, that doesn't sound healthy. It doesn't sound normal. So I think it's important for entrepreneurs, once you've found purpose, Kathy, share the live show. Hi, Kathy. Let me share the link. Oops, right here. And you can click the You can just click the telephone button icon to join if you'd like to. But yes,
welcome.
This happened to me, and I don't really have a good handle on it, but it's constant work. So I think this is what I would like to say on the topic before I move on to the next. It is very important to have this conversation, especially with entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Because you hear a lot of the conversation about find what you love. It doesn't mean that when you find what you love, all is well and everything is good and you have nothing more to do.
That's right.
You have found what you love, sometimes you love it so much.
Yes.
You love it so much that you have to really manage yourself and monitor yourself. And I'm telling you, because it's very real for me. I did it today. I mean, but today was just like one day out of months I haven't done it.
Hey, give yourself a hand. Come on. That is something.
I deserve that it. Is something. Oh, my gosh. Seriously.
There you go.
So lost. We were working on a theory and a formula, and it was just amazing. And when I think of how it's going to impact my clients, I'm just like I just want to put all my heart in it, but I have to remember, you know, at what cost.
Yeah.
So it's important even when you're in purpose, because when you're in purpose, it's healing. It gives you healing. So it's a place you could easily just get lost.
Yeah.
You just easily get lost in purpose, very easily, once you've found it.
One thing I hear a lot over the years, and I say this to entrepreneurs, is that you know, you hear about, you know, for those who want to do their own business opposed to joining somebody else's. Now, if you're going to join somebody else's business or a company, you will hear, you know, we guarantee your time freedom, we'll give you time to travel for your family and friends, and you know, and to fire your boss. Yes, all that's possible, but please bear in mind, if you're going to do any kind of business, it's going to require some serious time.
Absolutely.
A lot of hours and a lot of dedication. So don't fall for this, you know, the perks without the works.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. So I'm going back home now. So, oh, hi, Kathy. I'm not quite sure how to give it to you. You'd have to click the phone icon on the app. And you just get to join. I'm not able to do it any other way. I'm so sorry you didn't get a chance to come on. But it's so nice to have you all here. I want to go to, because time is running out, so I'd like to go through number 10. Number 10 is, and we're talking about 15 signs you are, let me go back to the topic. 15 signs you're too busy and should stop. So number 10 is you are paralyzed when it's time to make decisions, big or small. Well, I get paralyzed whether or not I'm busy. I just don't like to make decisions. I'm too indecisive. Okay. And number 11 is you don't ask for help. I'm learning how to do that. How about you, Keith?
Oh, I ask for help all the time. I ask an heartbeat. Maybe I probably ask too much.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good thing. It's not easy for some people to ask for help.
Uh-huh.
You too, Marcia Jason, her too. Yeah, it's very, very important. Mm-hmm. Number 12, you don't remember what you had for breakfast. Possibly routinely skip breakfast.
No, if you forget breakfast, you're in trouble. Yes. You're in big trouble.
That didn't happen to me. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Number 13 is your workplace is messy and you dread going there. Well, I like the mess.
Okay.
I get very very confused if someone comes in and tidy my workspace. I have to tidy, well, even when I tidy myself. Mm-hmm. I like to have things where I know where they are. I mean, it's not a complete
mm-hmm. mess,
but it is not neat and tidy. And yeah. I like it that way.
Okay.
Number
whatever
14.
Clever. Whatever works. Huh?
Whatever works.
Whatever gets done.
Productive, right?
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Number 14. You double book or miss appointments. Does that happen to you?
Sometimes. I think I started working with this company.
Mm-hmm.
With a social network, social network company, and maybe over that 8 years now, I'm working with them, and they have taught me very well that when most of your reviews are about to give you reviews, you better make sure you're on point. So as far as being on time and make sure the client's happy and calling them, you know, I was on point. So I think that kind of regimen has kind of brought me to now where I'm very much time conscious. If I say I'm going to meet you at the house, it's not a gig. I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock. I'll be at 5.
Yes. So, I like to take my time seriously too.
So I try to really be very on point with those things.
Yeah. The final one is you're lonely.
I'm so lonely.
This is interesting to me that that's interesting to me that being lonely is a sign you're too busy.
That very much so.
I guess too lonely to make relationships, right? Too busy to make relationships.
That too, because this is me. A lot of people, especially the women, you're all so needy. Oh boy, Jesus. Oh my God.
Oh my, excuse you.
You call me.
Oh my gosh.
Where were you? I'm like, what?
I'm a woman, Keith.
You know? My goodness, I mean, this is like kind of rich, you unbelievable here.
You're very blessed that we want to spend time with you.
Well, yeah, true that. But I remember there were days, right? Honestly, on a serious note, there were days when, because you know, I do vocals and I write songs. Now there were days when I'm in the studio, in the box, recording my inspirational song that just came to me from the universe, from God Himself, and I'm ready to go. I'm in the middle of my song and the phone rings and someone said, Keith, they got a call.
Yeah.
And silly me, pick up the phone. And I would hear, you gotta come now. You gotta come now.
It's not a good, that should be encouragement. That should be motivation. Hello.
Well, if the come now was the come now, would have been, but then, oh my God,
Lord, you know so what? The come now was come later?
Scratch that.
There was no reward.
But here it is.
I'm sorry about that. Thank you so much for sharing with us today, though. We have 3 minutes to go before we have to wrap
this
up.
This is a great segment.
Talking about 15 signs you are too busy and should stop or slow down. And this article was written on lifehack.org by Cylon George. I think it was interesting, the points he had.
I think
we had a good time. Did you?
Yeah, okay? I loved it.
Yeah. I look forward to our next talk.
And folks, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining us right here on Yumi Radio for Finding Happy. You can log on to Yumi Radio and listen to our radio station at any point in time you want to. We broadcast 24/7 at umeradio.com, and it's the letter umeradio.com. Very inspirational, very amazing, very entertaining and lovely and empowering, I believe.
Yes.
I listen to it myself, and I love it. Interesting stories. Have you listened to the stories sometimes?
Really good, great stories. Very inspiring.
It's so funny because you wonder why radio still exists and why so many people still listen to radio. It's the ability to just lie down and create your own pictures.
Yes.
Just listen to what someone is saying and create your own pictures, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing. So thank you all so much for joining us today. Marsha, Jig, Kathy, and everyone else who's here with us. Thank you so much. Thank you. And have a fantastic
day. And remember, whatever you do, do it well.
Do it well. It's Christmas.
Yes.
So let's just leave you with a little Christmas song, a little Christmas music.
Nice.
Thank you so much, Marsha. She said, great show.
And thank you, my co-host.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, ma'am. You know how we do it.
Next is Christians and Sex, right? So guys, don't go anywhere because they're coming up at 8 o'clock, which is 9 minutes from now, and that conversation is gonna be amazing.
Uh oh.
Yes, because I saw a little bit of it.
Oh boy!
Thank you so much.
I'm giving it away.
Take care. Bye.
All right.
I'm Coach Raquel, and this is Keith, the Entrepreneur. Have a lovely day.